It is a pleasure to be back. Very thankful for the invitation to come back, and my family's had a good time, and we are, of course, all exhausted. We've been all over the place. We went to the Discovery Place for the kids. We had a young adult hangout. We went to a youth hangout. We had lunch here at the building. We've been all over the place doing fun stuff. And of course, now, you know, they do it on purpose, so you're just exhausted for Sunday. You know, you see how you do, how you persevere through the weekend is, I think, how that's supposed to go, how that's supposed to go. In Acts chapter 14, what we just had read for us, it's a beautiful passage. It's one that strikes me every time I read it. But this morning, I want to express to you a question or a statement that's been made to me, and that I've even had the moments in my life where I've asked it of myself, or I've thought about it myself. And that is having people come to me and say, I just don't know how God can use me. I'm not like you. And in turn, I've looked at myself and said, I wish God could use me like that person. I see other preachers, I see them doing some amazing things. I'm thinking, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that too. But I think, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how it's going to work, how it's going to happen. And of course, the ones that are there are thinking, I wasn't expecting to do this, right? And here in Acts chapter 14, in verses 21 through 28 that we just had read for us, there's this moment where you see Paul and Barnabas going nuts, right? I mean, there are verb after verb after verb. They're preaching, they're going here, they're going there, they're preaching again, they're establishing elders in this congregation, they're on to the next place. And then it's like this moment of reprieve where they come back to Antioch and they say, look at what God has done through us, how God has used us. And so the answer to that statement or that question that people ask and that I've asked myself is, God can use you. And He can do great things with you. Amen. The first point I want us to understand is that they were willing to allow God to use them. If we want to do those things, we have to be willing to allow God to use us. They were all over the place doing all kinds of things. And in verse 27, they said, this is what God is doing through us. What is God doing with you? Are you allowing Him to use you? That's the hard part to answer, right? There's a lot of things we enjoy doing, and we can get caught up in doing all kinds of different things. But are those things taking us away from what God wants us to do? I gave a short devotional for the teens on Saturday night, and it was from Luke chapter 5. And in the last verse of that section, in verse 11, it says that the disciples there forsook all. They left everything behind, their nets, their fishing equipment, and they followed Jesus. What's there that you need to leave behind? What is there that you have to say, I just cannot hold on to these things anymore? I have to let them go so that God can use me. Paul and Barnabas had to let some things go so that God could use them. Who was Paul before he was Paul? He was Saul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had everything going for him. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of his day. People looked up to Saul as a great example of what a Pharisee should be. And he could have had a great life on this earth. Of course, it took a little bit extra to get Saul on the right path, didn't it? He had to be blinded by the light, and Jesus had to come to him and say, why are you persecuting me? But he forsook all of what he had before so that God could use him and do some wonderful and marvelous things. Barnabas, we don't know as much about, right? We don't really know a ton about him. We know that his name before was Joseph. We know that early on in the book of Acts, he was a great example to the rest of the Christians by selling a plot of land, laying it at the apostles' feet, and allowing them to use the funds to help the poor saints in Jerusalem, to help all those who had need. That's the first little tidbit we know about Barnabas. That he was willing to let things go so that God could use him. Are you willing, am I willing, to let some things go so that God can use us? Secondly, I want you to understand that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're tall, if you're short, if you're white, if you're black, if you're rich, if you're poor. No matter what spot in life you may be, if you're a teenager, if you're 90 plus, it doesn't matter what age you are, God can use you. And he wants to use you to help his kingdom grow. When you look at Barnabas and Saul and Paul, they did a number of things, but Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles. Here was Saul, a new convert. Everybody knew him by name, right? Who was he? The persecutor of the church. And Barnabas, you want to bring him to the apostles? There's no way God could use someone like Saul. But he did, didn't he? Barnabas was somebody that just encouraged people, built them up. And of course, that's why he received the name Barnabas. That's what the apostles called him, because he was someone who encouraged other people. But think about the disciples. You've got a bunch of them that are fishermen. And a lot of the criticism they received in their day was they are uneducated. I mean, these people are from Galilee, of all places. They just don't talk like the rest of the people in Jerusalem. And then you've got the tax collectors like Levi, who we also know as Matthew. Or you've got the zealots who are wanting to rise up against Rome, who Jesus says, come follow me. You have people like Judas, and now he didn't follow through all the way to the end. He ended up hanging himself because of the fact that he couldn't handle the sin he committed. He was someone who was greedy. But Jesus says, I can use you. It doesn't matter where you came from. God can and will use you. And then finally this morning, this is where it gets a little bit longer. Whenever you hear finally, that means it gets longer now. We have to understand that we are God's tools. We might be a screwdriver, we might be a hammer, we might be a saw, but God will use us if we allow him to. We are his tools. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Usually we come to Romans 6 to look at verses 3 and 4. And we talk about baptism, and we talk about the fact that this is what happens in baptism, that we are buried as Jesus was buried, and we rise up as Jesus rose up from the tomb, and we're looking forward to that same resurrection, right? But do we ever keep reading? Let's start up in verse 9. Paul's continuing to talk here after the discussion on baptism. He says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You notice that? Your body your members, who you are. You are now alive to God. But what does he say? You're no longer an instrument or a tool of unrighteousness, of sin, of wickedness. But now in Christ Jesus, you're a tool that God can use for righteousness. He can make good things happen with you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the most popular verses in the religious world today is chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful. We all need God's grace, don't we? But notice what he continues on to say. He says, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." It's not that I earned anything. I didn't earn salvation, right? It was God's grace. It was his gift. But then he says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I mean, you can just picture God. He is molding us. He is working us. He is getting us to that right size, to that right position, to that right place in life. We are his workmanship. And he says, "And now I have things for you to do. I need you to go to your neighbor, and I need you to talk to them. I need you to go to that coworker. I need you to go to your friends, to your loved ones. I need you to go to that stranger that you don't even know. I need you to work with the youth rally this coming weekend." Andy's over there. He's saying, "Thank you. Preach it." He says, "I need you to work." You have to find these opportunities that God is giving you. You've got a youth rally coming up. You've got the Carolina Bible Camp coming up. I'm sure there's a vacation Bible school at some point in the mix there. There's your neighbors, friends, coworkers, someone you have yet to even meet. But God is going to bring them into your path. Are you going to take opportunity? Have you allowed God to use you so that you can see the opportunities and take advantage of them? Now, to close this morning, I want you to think about Esther. Esther is a beautiful account in the Old Testament. And it's one of the more unlikely stories that you would ever hear. King Ahasuerus is throwing this great feast, and he's having a great, good old time. He's got all the princes, all the nobles there with him. And he's getting drunk, and everybody else is there having a good time. And he says, "I want my queen, Queen Vashti, to come in here, and I want to parade her beauty around for everyone to see." And of course, Vashti, this is one of those good points with Vashti. She said, "I ain't doing that. I'm not going to get out there and show off everything. That's not what I'm going to do." And so then the king gets upset. The princes and everybody else is upset about the situation. And they get to the point where they say, "We need to have a new queen because she did not obey you. We need to have a queen who will obey you." And so they have a search throughout the land to find a virgin woman that could be the new queen. And here is Esther, who has lost her father and mother. She is an orphan. She's raised by Mordecai, who I believe in the text is her cousin. She is his uncle's daughter. And so he takes her into his home, and he raises her as his own. And she gets to be one of these daughters, one of these women that's chosen to go in to see if the king would like to have her as his queen. And then it comes about with Haman, a man in the court of King Ahasuerus. He hates the Jews, and he wants to get rid of the Jews. And so he comes up with a law that he gets the king to go along with and to sign that on a certain date, that people could go and kill and slaughter the Jews. Mordecai hears about this. In the meantime, Esther has been chosen as the queen. But Mordecai hears about this and he is beside himself. He is in sackcloth and ashes. He is so sad. And it's reported back to Esther what is happening with Mordecai. And so she says, well, take some of these clothes. Help him look better. Do this to cheer him up. And he won't accept it. Instead, he tells Esther all about the law, all about these things that are happening. And he says, you need to do something about it, Esther. She replies back and says, I have not been invited into the king's presence. And if I go into the king's presence without being invited, that means certain death. You walk in there, and you weren't invited, the king has the power to kill you, right then and there. Mordecai replies back to her. This is now Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. But he says, God will deliver his people. God will deliver the Jews one way or another. He says, perhaps right now, in this moment, it's you. Maybe you have been born for such a time as this. Now I want you to flip that back on yourself. God's kingdom is going to grow. God's kingdom is never going to be destroyed. That's a promise from Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 16. He says, I'm building my church, I'm establishing my kingdom based on the faith of Peter there, who says that he is the Christ. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. It will last. It doesn't matter what kingdom on earth rises or what kingdom on earth falls, his kingdom will last. The kingdom of God will be just fine. No matter who we are or what we do, his kingdom will go on. But the question is, are you doing anything for his kingdom? Are you taking on the responsibility and understanding that right now, at this moment, God's put you here? God put you right here at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. You're at this congregation. And he has a job for you to do. Have you discovered what it is yet? Have you been challenged to discover what it is? If not, I'm imploring you today, you have got to figure it out. And for the elders and the deacons, start grabbing people. Start challenging them. Start telling them things that they can do, how God can use them. It is our charge and it is our challenge to discover how he can use us. We have to be willing to let him. We have to understand that we are his tools. That we need to let him use us each and every day. Sundays and Wednesdays are great. Special activities are fantastic. But every day of my life, I need to let him use me. It doesn't just happen. It's a choice you have to make. And it starts with the very first choice. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? That he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ? And are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to put him on in baptism? Receiving the forgiveness of your sins and beginning to walk a new life. A life where he is king, he is Lord, and where you say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. If you need to respond this morning in that fashion, to make that initial choice, the invitation is for you. And if you're here saying, I've done that, but I have not been working, I have not been letting God use me, and you want the prayers and the encouragement of this congregation, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.